2 Timothy 3, verse 2. I'll read from verse 1 and stop after the one we're at again. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Let's pray. Lord, the most simple thing, of course, we would know to do toward you is to give thanks. Yet it is not known. It is not done. And even at Thanksgiving, where a holiday has been set aside for Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is not given, generally. It's a secular virtue signaling that there's things to be thankful for, but we don't want to mention it always, just every once in a while. So help us to see this as a difficult thing to foist upon anybody, to be unthankful. Lord, help brace us for the impact of people who are ungrateful. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the earliest things I heard, you heard it probably the same, say please and thank you. Our parents, my grandparents, what do you say? Please. What do you say? Thank you. The shows we watched in the morning, I doubt you watched the same ones. I watched a show out of Asheville and Greenville. We had the three channels, you know. We were big time. And they would teach us, remember to say, please and thank you. And Bob Barker would say, remember to have your pets spayed or neutered. But the please and thank you part, that was for us. And both of those are means of negating entitlement. To say please and to say thank you protects from pride and feeling entitled. Down here, you're very careful to teach your children to say sir or ma'am and to be respectful in that way. That's something here that's not the same upstate. But it is to protect children from entitlement. Entitlement is an ugly characteristic where people think the entire world owes them something. And they live their lives like they're owed something. They're on the receiving end of whatever the world has to give. They should be getting it, not giving it. And our parents wisely taught us to turn from that as early as possible. Shakespeare, who I read very, very often, once a century at least, said this, how sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child. Few things make the world more intolerable than entitled people who make demands. They don't ask, they make demands. They have it in their mind that they are entitled to it. Why aren't you giving it to me? They can never be satisfied. They can never be appeased. I don't know why the world doesn't get this message. You can never appease an entitled person. You can never satisfy an entitled person. If you bow to their wishes, they're angry that you didn't do it sooner or you didn't give them more. And they immediately turn to something else that they want because now that they've got that, they want the next thing. These are miserable people and miserable to be around and make for very difficult times. It's not just an annoyance, but it is an evil making the last days more difficult, as Paul points out. It's a really scary part about this. is that it's rooted deep within. It's something that is deep down. And it bubbles up, and it can't help but be seen. I've heard of a husband. I'm not giving any names. Sometimes this guy likes mustard, apparently. And sometimes mustard will drip out of his sandwich and get on his pants. I've been told that mustard is a hard thing to get out. It kind of sticks there. Once you get mustard, is it hard to get out? We wouldn't know ourselves. Yeah. But it sticks. And the problem with ungrateful people is that they've got a thing inside that they are selfish and entitled. And it's not a particular thing. It's a particular way they are. It's not they forget to thank you for something. It's that they are ungrateful. That is their nature. Because they are practicing atheists, they don't thank God, or they're idolaters, they thank the wrong God, or they're just proud and think that the world owes them. They're blind and selfish and proud and godless. I heard parents explain the behavior of their children by saying they didn't get a nap. They missed his nap. These people have missed more than their nap. They've missed God. And because they've missed God, that they're not just sleepy and irritable, they are deep down infected. These traits are tied together. In a dark and deceitful heart. All these things we're seeing in 2 Timothy 3. It's from a deceitful heart. Imagine if your brain was showing you things that were not there. You're driving in your car, you're seeing cars in your lane that are not there. You're seeing that your speed is what it's not. And you speed up and you're actually going way fast, but your brain tricks you. That's the deceitful, wicked heart we have. And it's not just about things like that. It's about life and God. It suggests alternatives and reason that reasonable people would consider. Things that you should believe instead of the Bible. Don't believe that. That's stupid. Believe this. This is wise. The Bible says the devil holds people captive to do his will. Why are people the way they are? You see people the way they are. Why are they the way they are? Because they're captive. Why do prisoners stay in prison? Because they're captive. Why do wicked people stay wicked? They're captive to it. Why are they spouting out the devil's doctrines? Because he's captured their minds. The difficulty arises because wickedness progresses and goes unchecked. It doesn't take long and it's all corrupting. The full potential of evil is restrained by the Holy Spirit, or we would have it even worse. And evil sometimes reaches a very high point, but then it turns back by revival or some mercy of God. And you get rid of it, and it's back to a better time. That's why the Bible sometimes is in season, sometimes it's out of season. The gospel is received sometimes and is rejected sometimes. Sometimes we're kind of out of season right now, but we hope someday the gospel soon will be back in season. But if the Holy Spirit removes his hand, then it's going to get bad. It will explode and bring the last of the last days, the Antichrist, false prophet, and all the things of Revelation. Now, I want to trace, and those of you who are here, last Sunday evening, you got a little bit of a head start on this. Romans chapter 1. Being ungrateful is more than an instance of ingratitude. And when Paul speaks about things in Romans 1, he speaks of how sin develops and how it goes without being stopped, even though people have revelation from God. And what Paul does first in Romans is show that everybody is guilty before God. If you're not guilty, you don't need the gospel. If you're not guilty, you don't need to repent. So the first thing in this book of Romans, which is a lot about salvation, is that everybody's guilty before God. And there are three types he gives in Romans 1, and I'm not pointing to the verses, but there's the pagan that we'll look at today. There's the moral person who knows the law and judges others by it. Not a pagan, but not a Jew. The Jew's the third one. He has a special revelation of the one true God and redemption. He's got the most revelation. And every one of them fail to follow the revelation they've been given. It's that way here in the Bible Belt. We're in the Bible Belt. It used to be the Bible Belt. I'm not sure if it's even that anymore. The Bible was more focused here. But the Bible is just as spurned here in the Bible Belt as in anywhere else. If you don't get the revelation God gives you, God takes it away, or it becomes ineffective. Or it becomes ineffective because you've ignored it. And you think, well, I'll get around to it someday. No, you will not. And after this, Paul will go into how we're justified by faith. But the first thing is you've got to get people to understand that they need faith. And one thing people ask and wonder about is how a pagan who does not have the Bible, has no special revelation from God, doesn't have the privileges that Jews had, how can they be guilty if they don't know God? If they've not been shown the Lord and they've not been given a Bible, how can they know the will of God and reject the will of God and be considered guilty? But, in actuality, every person on earth knows God. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Notice this. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. From the very lowest of the revelation of God, the pagan, those who are as far from the Jewish revelations as they can be, they know God. They have been shown God. And they are guilty before God for not responding to that revelation. Special revelation is great. To be given what we have here in the Bible, to be shown the truth of God, for the Jews to have the temple of God, and in it was shown the shadows of Christ and how redemption was through the blood of Christ. It's a great privilege. But the Jews, with all that revelation, were corrupt before God, and they had the most revelation. And people are constantly judging others while doing the very same things, Paul says of the moralist in chapter 2. But the most basic revelation is that which God provides in nature. And this is where we see what a catastrophe evolution has wrought upon the world. Evolution is taking from our children a very fundamental understanding of the world. And that is that God made it and that we're responsible to Him. And today kids are taught from the very earliest times that creation is a myth and evolution is a fact. Talk about getting something turned around. But ungratefulness begins in the very heart of a wicked heart of man who will reject God regardless of the revelation given. But secondly, creation is enough to reveal God. Verse 20 of Romans 1. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. These are people who don't have the Bible, who aren't living near Christians, who have no Christians in their territory. They have no neighbors who are believers. They have no church. They were not reached by any kind of gospel witness whatsoever. And yet, the creation of the world has given them a witness of God. If you walk into, when I was growing up, you walk into the kitchen and there was food in there. There just happened to be food in there at supper time. Strangest thing, wasn't it? We just walk in there and there would be food there. There'd be food on the table. There'd be food up there on the stovetop. Food in the oven. I don't know how that got there. Do you have any ideas? How could that have gotten there? Well, a person who was had any sense at all, which we, I think, had some at least, we knew that Mom had done that. I knew that my brother had not cooked. I surely knew that I had not cooked. My sister had an easy bake oven. I knew it didn't come out of that. My dad didn't cook it. My mom cooked it. When we were done, if you were to thank anyone for the meal, I wouldn't have thanked my brother. Thank you for that. What? He didn't do it. But it is obvious by what God has made. By what my mom made, it was obvious that she made it. Now, if it had been a little, what looked like a cupcake, I'd know it came out of the Easy Bake Oven. A little cookie, flat cookie. My sister might have turned the light bulb on that one and toasted it up a little bit, mixed it up. But if it was an actual meal, there was no doubt it was my mom who made it, or my grandmother. I never attributed cooking to my granddad. He could drink some coffee, dip his biscuit in coffee, pour coffee in a saucer, and dip a biscuit in it, and eat the biscuit. I saw that a lot, but he didn't make the biscuit. I knew my grandmother did that. So creation has set the table for a pagan to know God. And then we come along today and little kids are told that God didn't do it. It's pulling the rug right out from under the most basic revelation that we have. And it says his invisible attributes are seen. You see, God is invisible, but creation shows his invisible attributes. His eternal power is seen. How did this get here? How did all of this around us get here? His divine nature. Whoever did this is not like us because we can't do this. He's divine. He's God. And it says in Revelation 1:20 that these things are clearly seen. Clearly seen. People fuss today if they don't hear soon enough about the tornado coming or a hurricane. But sometimes that's not clear. This is clear. You look around. How did that bush get out there? Oh, we planted that. Well, how did it come? What about the sun, the stars at night? Who can stand at night and look up at the stars and not understand God's power and divine nature? They're clearly seen. There's no room for fuzziness here. Well, I'm not really sure how that got here. There's no room for that. You get that through unbelief. Not through the evidence. They're without excuse. What kind of blindness is required to miss this? It is all around us. in such a way that anyone who says they're not guilty before God because they don't have a Bible, they're without excuse just because of this. Nature itself puts us in a place where we should be thankful to God because someone mighty and divine clearly put us here on this earth. And He's given us a lot of joys in life and blessings that no person could give. There was a day, I don't remember now. I know the girls had popcorn last night. I've kind of got a taste in my mouth for it all the time. There was a day I had it for the first time. I don't know why I don't remember that day. But it was a great day. And by the way, how did popsicles get into the freezer in the summertime? We had grape popsicles and orange popsicles and sometimes a banana popsicle. And cherry. How'd they get there? My mom went to the store without any asking from us, and she would bring them home and put them in the freezer, and we'd go and open the freezer, and there they were. We knew they were from her. God's majesty is evident all around us, and we are nothing in comparison. Who can stand out at night looking at the stars and think there's something? We owe God our thanksgiving and our devotion. But instead, what Paul says in Romans 1 is that instead of worshiping God, thanking God, serving God, they chose to magnify the creation and not the Creator. Verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but their futile but became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And it says they made gods from nature. They made gods like bugs. They made gods like humans. They made gods like birds. They made gods like cockroaches. And they said that was God. So you see, they perverted the knowledge of God. And they exchanged the glory of God for the imagined glory of creatures. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. This is exactly what people do today, ongoing, all day long. It'd be nice if our education system was full of the knowledge of God along with math and science and whatever. But in so many cases, it's not at all the case. So they got the truth and they switched it out. When scientists look at the planet now, they see random natural forces. Not intelligent design. Billions have been turned to the worship and service of Mother Earth. People are crying today somewhere in the world, more than one place, about how we're treating the planet. That's all they care about. They care about that. The world is more healthy with more carbon. So what are they upset about? We're giving the earth too much carbon. That's how wacky it gets. And we're told the world exists by a big bang from nothingness. Pop! It came. That doesn't work. I've not fired that many firecrackers in my life. But I've seen some fired up. We never got anything useful from it. Paper, a smell of sulfur, smoke. Not even a motorcycle came from one of those. Some of those ones I've seen on July 4th, they shoot up way in the sky. You'd think a car would at least fall out of the sky every once in a while if the Big Bang Theory works. This is considered to be the wise philosophy. And rabid environmentalists today are hardened unbelievers. People who are obsessed with the planet are hardened unbelievers. It's like a lifeguard scared of the water. They say they care for the planet, but the planet that testifies of the nature of God, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature, they are completely oblivious to that. And you notice in verse 21 where the thanks thing came up. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. You see, their early failure of ungratefulness is that when they saw God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. In essence, they accepted their existence without any responsibility to God. They figured, as so many do today, that they deserve to be made. They're worthy of being made. God made them because He needed us somehow. And they received from God without directing thanksgiving to God who gave us life. And knowing they had been divinely wrought because nobody could do what they saw all around them except God, they kept their gaze horizontal to creation. Wow, look at that elephant over there. I think we'll make a god out of that, because that's a pretty powerful elephant. That he must be really worthy of honor. And they dishonored God by giving honor to the creation. David, in Psalm 8, was right on the button. The way you're supposed to behave when you see the world is different than the way people behave today. People see the world today, they don't get it. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth, who have displayed Your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes You have established strength because of Your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Look at verse 3. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have ordained, what is man that You take thought of him, and the son of man that You care for him? That's the way. When I see what You've made, what are we that You care for us, that You notice us, that You reach out to us? And throughout this psalm, if you kept going, it's all about God. How majestic is Your name. It's You, 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 You all through the song. It's worshipful and humble before the mighty God who made us. What is man that You're mindful of him? Who am I? Brother Barry Pruitt, I always heard him say more than one time, a number of times. We were eating one time and we were talking about the things of the Lord. He said, Scott, why us? Why do we know these things? Why us? And what do you say to that? Because we're pretty? No. What is man that You're mindful of him? And consider what difficult times come when people can't see God and He's right there. There's no fear of God before their eyes because they don't see God. They are in the deepest darkness because they've rejected the light. You see, those who are in the deepest darkness, like in our country, are those who have been given the most light and they've rejected it. You've got to really turn your eyes away from the light, and you get in such darkness as a result. They take their imaginations as absolute truth while they deny God's truth. And they have the utmost pride because they put themselves in the place of God. And God can't be their God because they've replaced Him. They've exchanged Him for something more to their liking. So you see, how much more serious it is to be ungrateful than just to not give thanks for some one thing. And there's a practical side to this. If a person is not serving God and worshiping God and thanking God, well, they're basically in the same place as we're seeing here. They're ungrateful. And you remain in that vein of wickedness and odiousness before God. And all these things are together. Self-love, love of money, all that works right in with unthankful, because if you're full of yourself, you're not full of thanksgiving to anybody. You're full of yourself. Maybe you look in the mirror. I'm sure there are a lot of books that'll advise you to do this. Look in the mirror and just say, thank you. Because that's what people think. They're the ones. All manner of wickedness is possible to people who are unthankful, because they are not beholden to God for their behavior. They have no fear of God. They have no motivation for righteousness. How much sleep do you think is being lost right now by people who are rioting in these cities and causing trouble? And how much sleep is being lost by all the media that's stirring all that up? How much difficulty do you think they're having sleeping? I'll tell you how much. Not one bit. Because they're in darkness. Christians thank God. That is our deal. Not just on Thanksgiving, but we thank God. We know who made the world. We know that we are not owed anything by God. We know that all of our blessings are by grace, not by merit. We know that God is a divine being far above us. We know we can't do the things that we're seeing around us. We can't even get to the stars from here. I mean, it'd take years. By the time we got there, the star would probably just burn us up before we got to it. We need to know where we came from. You know, it's important. Sometimes people say, you know, where did you come from? You need to know where you came from. You don't need to get uppity. My grandmother used to say, don't get too big for your britches. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Don't get too big for your britches. Know where you came from. Know that you've been made. Know that you're a product of the power of God, the might of God, the divinity of God. And thanksgiving is the rent God requires for those who is made. And the wicked do not do that. And the wicked who will not thank God are independent, rebellious, hard-hearted monsters at the upper end of their wickedness, because they are proud and stubborn and crusty heart. God can break the heart. But if a person is ungrateful, they are evidencing a root of ungodliness and wickedness that is deeper and darker than any person wants to be around. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have made all that we see around us. What a wonderful creation. The complexity, the detail, the intelligence in it. And Lord, what kind of a dark heart does it take to attribute all of that to chance? And yet, Lord, this is the way it is. And this is exactly what Paul says the pagans will do. Is a tribute to creation, that which came from God. Exactly what evolution does. So, Lord, we will beware of that. We know that a lack of thankfulness, a lack of knowledge of you, or a lack of applying the knowledge of you is a very difficult thing to face. And yet, Lord, what a joy when you turn the dark heart around and save it. We pray for that. And help us, Lord, to be always mindful of our duty to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.